Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord loves us and He cares about us in every way, every capacity, every part of our lives is important to Him. And people are very important to me. And the more I realize how God loves me and how He chose me, He selected me, He made me in the first place. He watched over my life when I didn't watch over my life. When I tried to get in trouble, my parents prayed for me. And, you know, here I am in love with God. And I thank Him for everybody that was involved in helping me get to this point where I love God and know Him. I love knowing Him. Now, I talk a lot about following God and knowing Him. How can I enjoy all the blessings of knowing God and not telling Him? That doesn't make sense. And, you know, I taught a Sunday school lesson one time. Knowledge is at war with knowledge. Whatever people believe, if it's right, that the right knowledge is at war with wrong knowledge, which is deception or rebellion. Nevertheless, all forms of belief systems that's not of God is at war with the knowledge that is of God. And hopefully, you know, that's what Genesis shows us when we saw what the Lord said to Adam. Everything God did was good. It was wholesome. It was holy. It was pure. When I say the word holy, I mean pure. I mean there's no evil in it. And sometimes people take the word holy to mean rules and regulations. It's just no, holiness is supreme purity. There's no evil in it. There was nothing evil in anything that God told Adam, the five commandments He gave Adam. See, the five commandments, those are the real commandments. That's to a person that loves God. A person that has love in their heart, that's what God would say to them. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. He couldn't tell that to an evil man. He could only tell that to a person that shared His heart. So, everything that God said was perfect. Then along comes a serpent. Did the Lord say you can't eat off that tree? And then He said the reverse of what God said. So knowledge is at war with knowledge. And people believe things sometimes, you know, they're deceived. And they don't know how to judge the wrong knowledge. They don't see it for what it is because there's no light. But when we provide, when we live the light of God's word, it exposes the darkness every time. Even if they don't want it to be exposed, it's still exposing. And then they have a choice to make. Now that's good for them because they can see now. And they can walk out of darkness if they want to. Or they can remain in it if they want to. It's up to them. But at least they have a living chance. And then when they choose the darkness and everything goes south, they'll know that God tried to help them through His people. And they'll know His people who loved them, care enough about them to try to help them. And so on and so forth. But I thank God for all the people. I didn't learn to love God by myself. It was anointed people speaking, living, giving, providing with it. And they probably didn't think much of it. They were just doing what they do. My parents loved each other. They loved the church. They loved everybody. And they acted like they loved everybody. They probably didn't think much of it. They went about their daily routine. They're blessed. And people don't realize that if you get up and go to work, you're serving society. And you're going to get rewarded for it. But you're still doing the work. All the students my mama taught, all the work that my daddy did, people were able to have insulation in their homes, and you know, it benefits society. And then the rewards is you get paid for it. And when you at the top of your life, you know, you look around and all you see is the results of your rewards. You don't really see how far the impact went that you did, the work that you did, how it blessed society. But it does, and God knows it. And if you do it with a good attitude, in His name, He'll reward you for it. My parents loving each other and not fussing and fighting, it gave me something to look to. And I wanted that kind of marriage, so I knew that I couldn't be any different. You have to be a person that loves people. But then I learned some more things that I didn't know. There's a war between light and darkness. If somebody has love in their heart, people of pride, they don't see love as a strength. They see it as a weakness. So there's a division right there. Yesterday's broadcast was called The Sword. Every time men get in pride, they can't value. They get to a point, they become the opposite of God's will. And they can't value people who love God. They'll think it's stupid to operate according to the living love of God. They can't value it. They don't value it the same way. So for that reason, we have to, some men, they have a good wife that love them and care about them, right, to do everything right, and then they'll go cheat on her. They don't remember her birthday, anniversaries. They don't value her because they got pride in their heart. Whatever she's doing, she's supposed to do it. That's how proud people operate. If you do anything to bless them, you didn't do it fast enough, and then they critique what good you did do. That's pride. That's God's not that way. God appreciates everything you do in His name, because He loves you as a person. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses. He understands what areas you're limited. But before you come out of darkness, a person that's trying to come out of darkness is highly valued to God, even though they don't know how. God is looking at the intent too, not just the final result. See, sometimes the Lord said, "You did it." I did what? I didn't feel like I did anything. I said, "Lord, I failed. I didn't even deliver everything you gave me to preach." He said, "You gave what I needed you to give." I said, "Okay, I had to believe it. I just didn't see it." Sometimes we don't see, but God knows. And the people can see your devotion too. That didn't mean that I was an expert in life. I wanted to be, but I was not. And the Lord worked with me. And He valued me. And when I didn't know how to stand and all the ins and outs of how to get rid of darkness, God worked with me. He cared about me every day. And I decided, I said, "I'm going to learn this. I don't know how to keep." I explain these in many other broadcasts for different reasons. There's an illustration that people are definitely going through. So the Lord helped me to, when He calls me to remember the past, I share it, and I share things that happen, so for people who want to do the same thing. And these things are valuable throughout the stages of our lives. And you know, when the Lord bring it back to my remembrance and I talk about it, I'm doing it at His prompting. And see, I've gotten used to the knowledge and a new way of doing things. You get used to, and you don't really go around thinking about how it happened. But when He helped me remember it, then I share it. So God values people as trying to learn. When King Ahab walked softly, He sent the prophet back and gave him another word. You know, He gave him he gave him repentance, because he walked softly. He stole a man's vineyard and had him killed, and he didn't stop Jezebel, and he knew he was going to die. All he did was walk softly. He regretted. He walked in regret to what he had done. He couldn't go back and undo it. And the Lord had mercy on him. Now, he still eventually died, but it was prolonged. It was delayed. And you know, there's a cause and effect. If you do something, something's going to happen. God can't stop that. He can delay it, but he can't stop it, because you put something in motion and it's going to be in motion. And you got to, whatever man sow, that will he also reap. The good thing is you can still receive redemption, and you can still put good things in motion so that God can give you some kind of reward. And rewards are important. And I know that God thinks of everything. It's wise, you know, the reward system that God has is perfect, and it's very important. Also, you're going to want it. Now, I do God's business not for rewards, but because of the need. I'm over here enjoying the Lord, his presence, his peace. I'm learning facts, not fiction. Things is real, things that people can live by. I have hope. I know that at the right time, when he raptures us, I get to go with him. I'm going to live forever. That was a relief when I realized I'm going to live forever. I was relieved. And I want the same. I want good things for everybody. But people don't always see what you see. And I'm patient, because that was a time I didn't see. My parents prayed for me, and others too. Christian people will pray for you. You know, you don't really know it, but when I used to go to church with my parents, all the people would pray for me. They didn't tell everybody. They see the family, and they say, Lord bless him. Keep him in the way. Keep him in your light. I've done it. I pray for people. I know they did. I'm standing on their shoulders, every one of them, because I did things that could have cost me my life. I did things that could have got me shot. I didn't rob anybody. I didn't do that. But that, you know, I did things that me and my friends, we rode those motorcycles, and we could have got killed any day that we woke up. And we did stunts. And we tried stuff. We almost got hit by cars, all kind of stuff. But we always went home safe and sound in our warm bed. I told my mama about the Holy Spirit and how important it was to receive the Holy Spirit. And she said, boy, who you think been praying for you all your life? And I thought, and the time she said, I thought about all the things that I did that she didn't know about. It's like all at once. And the Lord used that to see, wrong knowledge is a problem. I went to a Pentecostal church that taught that if you don't receive the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, you're not even a Christian, which that's not true. Because you can't receive the Holy Spirit until you become a Christian, according to what Jesus said in St. John 14. He said that people that are not Christians, they can't receive the Holy Spirit because they won't receive the Holy Spirit. Now it's... Which means you got to be a Christian first. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for works. You know, Jesus taught about too, the well of living water springing up in the everlasting life, and then also the rivers of water. You know, that's the Holy Spirit upon you, like the Old Testament prophets, but the Holy Spirit within you. That's your personal trainer, your guide in this life. He guides you spiritually. He responds to your faithfulness. And I didn't know that at the time. But he gave me a clue. I knew that I lived because of her prayers and my daddy's prayers. And I looked at what I was being taught objectively. See, sometimes situations will help you come out of forms of darkness that you received is true. And the way I saw the scriptures, the way they were pointed out to me, it seemed real. So the Lord knew that I needed that clue and set the whole thing up. Never underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do for you. You just have to pay attention to him. And one day, and I would listen to pastors that I like. I love Dr. David Jeremiah. And and Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley. Sometimes when I watch them, you know, there was a time I thought they were all secret tongue talkers, because they preach just like Pentecostal preachers, in power. They don't preach dead sermons. They preach in power. They preach life. I know life and I know death. And they preach life. But they also taught, you know, I've heard them say that that the miracles went away with the apostles. I heard messages like that from the same guys. And I said, but they don't preach like they like that's true. I thought they would see, I thought they'd go in the back room and pray in the Holy Ghost and come out and deliver a message. But they're not liars. They seem to be honest to me. And it puzzled me that, and I know another Baptist preacher from Bessemer. And he preached like he on fire with the Holy Ghost. My daddy preached like a Pentecostal, though he was a Methodist. He started out smooth and then he ended up all over the stage shouting. And just, I mean, you'd think you were in a Pentecostal church. I went to a revival one time as a kid, and the kids my age was falling out in the spirit down in Utah, Alabama. I'm like, what's wrong with him? I didn't understand. He got happy. I went to another revival. I took the band when he was preaching in Birmingham. He did a revival. After he retired from the ministry, he was doing a revival at Hopewell United Methodist in the first neighborhood I lived in. And I always wished my dad would pastor that church, and eventually when he retired, he did. But nevertheless, he was running a revival there. I think this was just before he retired. He was running a revival there, and we went and heard him. And I remember Earl said, is that the same man that read that newspaper on the couch? Don't say nothing. I said, that's him. He was all over the stage back then. This is why I'm saying this. Knowledge and deception, it only lasts until you see the light. Deception does. Deception is challenged when people see the truth. Or when the Lord set things up for you to learn. And when we have a heart to know him, and we want to know him, he'll help us learn. And he'll help us grow. And, you know, and he'll help us go forward. He's working with us. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's with us, helping us out all along the course of our life. Now, this is very important. Now, the scripture I was referring to, Isaiah 14. I mean, not Isaiah, but John chapter 14. He said, this is Jesus talking, verse 16 and verse 17. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, this will happen because he said it would. Even the Spirit of truth, now watch this, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwell with you and shall be in you. Now, is that not plain enough? You got to be a Christian before you can actually receive him. Because you don't know him. You can't receive him as the Spirit of truth until you go through Jesus Christ. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit is holding back. It's just the people in the world will not receive him. Look at it again. He says, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now he's explaining this to his disciples love him. All of his disciples who heard him love him. Now this, at this point, Judas had already left. He had already been filled with Satan and he got out of there. But now he's talking to his people. I read it again. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then he said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Now, people operate in the light that they did receive. And then they have the same challenge. Deception challenges you. And in the seminary schools, you know, Rome still had a hand in our Protestant seminaries. See, what's to stop rich Roman Catholics from infiltrating the Protestant seminaries? Satan couldn't control people that were guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is what he did to derail the church. And here it is, Jesus is about to return today. And I'm still talking about following God, trying to get the church back to the point. Not only where they embrace the Holy Spirit, but they operate according to his perfect will. Not his acceptable and good will only, but his perfect will. See, in the perfect will, you can do things. You're enhanced because your level of obedience is much higher, and it enables you to learn. That's the best way to live, the perfect will of God. That's where you're going to marry the, if you're in his perfect will and you dedicate yourself to it before you marry, say, so to speak, God can cause you to marry the perfect person. That won't be such a distraction. If you're just satisfied with his acceptable will or his good will, he may not trust you with the one that would take you further. This is just the wisdom of God in operation. Why would he set you up with somebody that wants to go forward and you don't want to? These things. That's why I tell before, while the slate is clean, you're not married, you don't have children, you're like a blank sheet of paper. Let God fill it up. Trust him with all of your life. Now they can't value that because they're not sure what's going to happen. But I know that if you dedicate your life and don't change, and God said to build the house, you're going to live it. Because when people do things, now I understand it's not easy. I understand the challenge, because some of the things that I've actually done, I would not have done, but I made a vow to God that I would do it. And you know how you give a dog a bath, that'll tail go between his legs. He don't want that bath. He dread, you know, I used to dread the things that God told me to do, because I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I was inexperienced and I just didn't know. But I wanted to serve God, but I didn't know. I couldn't have originated that. I wasn't comfortable. I understand that challenge. But if you can trust me on this, you're going to love what God tells you to do, and it's going to work, and it's going to be a blessing, and you're going to wish you had done it all along. I walk around knowing this. I know that people would love the perfect will of God, but they got to let him have the reins. And sometimes the things that God tell you to do, it'll be just like a dog dreading a bath. But I promise you, the water's warm and comfortable. The things that you do is a challenge. Sometimes you'll look foolish. Sometimes you'll wonder why you're doing it, and you don't see the outcome. But every time you obey God, you're going to love it. Just like a person that gets saved. They don't know what they're getting into. They have a pictorial of God, a false pictorial of God in their mind. They think God is, they've been taught by the world that God is a certain way. They don't know it for themselves. So getting people to believe on Jesus and missing out on hell, some people would rather take their chances because they don't know him. And the worst problem is when they want to do wrong. And they don't know the wrong is going to cost them. It's got a heavy price tag. It's got your life in the end. You got to pay for that. The wages of sin is death. You got to die to do this. If you go around stealing and pillaging and doing, you got to die. It's going to cost your soul. That's the price tag. But you don't see the price tag. And you're going to have a miserable life because you're causing misery. Jesus is saving you from those, from all that junk. So when people trust God with their life, if you are married and you decide, hey, I want God's perfect will, well, you got to factor in, well, you marry somebody that may not want that, but there's a way to do it anyway. And it's your reasonable service to do whatever God say. And the Lord, you know, he can bring things up to speed. You got to trust him. But a person that has pride in their heart, they become the opposite of God. It's different when they have pride in their mind. God can work with them. But if they got pride in their heart, it's just like what God told the serpent. He said, I will put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. Don't forget that factoid, because it's true. That's a fact. There's enmity between right and wrong. So people fall in love with a person that's doing wrong, but there's enmity there. And people don't, they try to ignore it because they love, they're so infatuated with the person, or they love the person. But it's not going to work because that person loves the wrong thing. And so the Lord has to deal with these things. And he does things the right way. The Lord is always, he's always dividing light from darkness. When we first met him, he was dividing light from darkness. He said, let there be light. And then you can see the devastation for what it was. And he chose the light and rejected the darkness. That's what we have to do. We have to choose Jesus and reject the darkness in every form. Deception darkness, evil darkness, evil deeds. We reject all that. Sometimes people, in repenting, they ask God to forgive them, and they try not to sin. You have to actually reject sin. Rejection is a better word for our understanding than repentance. Originally, repentance meant rejecting. But the way we use the word repent, it's like, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, and that's it. That's not repentance. Repentance is rejecting the darkness. What if people have rejected the darkness with the same intensity they received the light? They received Jesus, they all in, but then they reject darkness and they drive it all out of their life. Now you can grow without interference. That's what Israel was supposed to do. They were supposed to drive out the Canaanites. You let them in here, man allowed evil in the world, man got to drive them out. And then I said, well, why didn't God just drive them out? Well, he didn't let them in. You made a deal with the devil. Now you drive him out. I'm going to help you do it. He's going to assist us in driving them out. We chose choices that were not good. And we did wrong on purpose. And it gave us a mindset. Now we got to get rid of that. Jesus came to help us do it. He gave us a new heart. Now we got to decide of our own free will, hey, that stuff got to go. Then you can live without interference, and you can receive light, and it's easier to receive the things of God when you do it that way. Now, it's not God. God is the one who did the division. So when people try to include people that's not included, it's not going to work. Jesus, now here, this is why I say this. This is Genesis 3:14. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And now watch this. He said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Why would God do something like that? If he allowed the serpent or anybody that's of the serpent, if he sanctioned their relationship, that's like, now he know the serpent hate his children, and his children can have the same desires as the serpent. That's been, you know, Adam proved that that could happen. You either in or you're out. You, if you cross the line, you're going to get hurt. If you really love me, I'm going to divide the darkness from you. He put enmity there so we can stay separated. God is not trying to make people get saved like we try to make people get saved. He wants them to choose. The heaven's army is a volunteer army. Every soldier in God's army, every angel, every man want to be there of their own free will. They can leave, but they don't want to, because they love God and he loves them, and he's not going to kick them out. But the darkness, we beg people to get saved. We beg people to pay tithes, go to church, love their family. You don't have to do that. That's up to them. We have to love them, live the light, encourage them best we can. But if they want it, they're going to come and get it. If they don't want it, they're going to reject it. And I had to learn to be free from what other people choose to do with their life. Because if they love God, nothing's going to stop them from staying in the kingdom of God. Nothing's going to drag them out. If they want to go, they're going to leave. And people will act the part. They'll do things